text this evening from the Word of God comes from Hebrews in chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 8, verses 1 and 2. We read, "Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne in the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, and not man." I wonder if you've ever been given something to do and then left on your own to do it and felt a little bit let down. I remember once going to a school to do something particular and feeling a bit nervous about it, and I was comforted because the deputy head was a friendly, considerate lady, and she'd surely guide me through what I was supposed to do. And I arrived at the school, met the deputy head, and was just about to get my instructions from her, and the fire brigade called at the school to check all the systems. So the deputy head said, "Well, here you are, get on with it," and then left me to it. And I felt quite embarrassed and quite disappointed in what I did, thinking I'd failed the school. Left to do something on your own and feeling a little bit out of your depth. Some of you might be glad to be left on your own to do something, and that's very nice if you know what you're doing. But if you're left on your own and you don't know what you're doing, that's difficult. If you're left on your own and you think you know what you're doing, you may get on all right for a while, or think you are, and then you begin to realise, no, I don't know what I'm doing. And everything's a big mess developing around you. Well, supposing you were left on your own to transact all the business between you and God in heaven. No help, just you sorting everything out with God. Some of you might think, I'll be all right. Until you try it for a while, and then you realize you just are out of your depth. God is very gracious, and he has not left us on our own. He has provided for us a high priest. He's the one who's appointed by God in all the things between men and God. You read about it in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. "Every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin." And he can have compassion, he can help us, he won't tell us off, he will pick us up and guide us and help us in all the transactions between us and God. And our texts speak of this great high priest. This is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. This is a matter of supreme importance. We need somebody between us and God. Paul in his letter says there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the one mediator between us and God, the great high priest who is to help us. And this isn't just a sort of minor matter in the Christian faith. The writer says in our text, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest. The Holy Spirit has inspired this man to write 7 whole chapters focusing upon this. And he said, this is the main point of what we're saying. It's that important. And It's not a matter of history long ago. This is the main point of the things we are saying. We have, right now, we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. That took place nearly 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus Christ, having died on the cross, the priest offering himself as the sacrifice to deal once and forever for sin, he then sat down at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. That's happened in the past, but the text goes on. He is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. Every priest is ordained or appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. So this great high priest of ours, although he's accomplished a work on earth thousands of years ago, is a minister today in the heavenly sanctuary and is busy on the behalf of his people. He is a minister today, offering gifts and sacrifices to God. And that means that everything that passes between you and God, as it were, passes through the hands of this great high priest. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Every transaction between God and you, between you and God, as it were, passes through the mediator, passes through this high priest. So what passed between you and God in this morning's service, the praises you raised, the prayers you offered, came to God the Father through God the Son, who is the great high priest. He is the only high priest for the people of God. There is no other. The Mormon Church claimed that it was revealed to their prophet, so-called, that there was a restoration of the Melchizedek priesthood. And so the president of the Mormon Church and a whole range of people under him and with him formed this Melchizedek priesthood. And they also claim that subsequent to that, or maybe before that, they were told the Aaronic priesthood had been reinstated. It's total nonsense. The Bible teaches that the Aaronic priesthood has become obsolete. It's vanished away. It's been replaced by the Lord Jesus Christ as the one and only high priest of God's people. We are not Roman Catholic. We do not follow the unbiblical traditions of the Roman Catholic Church. There is not some kind of continuation of the Aaronic priesthood in a New Testament form with a priestly group of people. All the Lord's people are priests. But there is only one high priest over all Christians, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no priestly office amongst Christians that doesn't apply to every single Christian. So here we have this wonderful passage. Everything that goes on between us and God passes through the hands of our great high priest. Some of you will remember Jacob's dream. That Jacob had lied, he cheated, he deceived his father, he dressed up in clothes to imitate his brother Esau. He maybe put on a voice to pretend to be Esau. He wore Esau's clothes to smell like Esau and took advantage of his father's poor eyesight and goes and steals the blessing that was the firstborn's blessing, Esau's. Having been discovered and hearing of Esau's threats to kill him, his mother and he feel it best to arrange his escape. So he's on his way to Laban. His life was at a turning point. And as he runs away, he has this dream of a ladder set up on earth and its top reaching the heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending, the traffic between earth and heaven, these angelic beings sent to minister for Jacob's safety and returning having fulfilled their mission from heaven. And God promising this thief, this cheat, this sinful man, I will never leave you until I bring you home, I'll protect you. And he was conscious that there was this traffic between earth and heaven, invisible to the human eye, but revealed to him in his dream. And God was saying, as it were, this traffic will continue. I will keep you, I'll preserve you, I'll bring you back to this land. And you remember that when the Lord Jesus Christ was calling disciples, he called Nathanael, and he said about Nathanael this wonderful thing, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile, an Israelite in whom there's no Jacob, a prince with God in whom there's no twisted character like Jacob. And Nathanael says, you are the Christ, you're the Son of God, you're the King. And Jesus says, do you believe? Just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? And then he says, Jesus says to him, in the future you will see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And what Jesus is saying is, there is this heavenly traffic, and it all, as it were, ascends and descends upon me, the Son of Man. He is the ladder set up on earth, reaching heaven. And all the transactions from heaven to earth are through him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only in terms of God's providential care of us, in the sending forth of angels to preserve and keep and minister to us, all unknown to us, but also the spiritual traffic, the raising of our prayers, the delivering of our praises to God. It's all through the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what our text is about. This is one word I'd like to engrave upon your minds from the text, is the little word such. Now this is the main point of the things that we are saying. We have such a high priest. It's a word that sort of points us to the qualities of this great priest. We have such a high priest. I want us to think of the qualities of this high priest by looking back at what the writer has already written. This is the main point of the thing so far. We have such a high priest. So what's he said about this high priest? To say this is such a high priest that we have. And then we can read about the qualities of this high priest in the next verses, and then from the example of the Old Testament priests. So briefly, dipping back into chapter 7, we have such a high priest. Well, what's he like? Well, he is a priest who has the power of an endless life. Verse 16 of chapter 7. He has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is this unusual character in Genesis. Most of the characters in Genesis are referred to in the genealogies. So this man was the father of this man, the father of this man, the father of this man, and almost all the characters are fitted into the genealogies as the son of somebody. There's this one person who is the son of nobody. This person who, by the absence of any genealogical connection, is revealed to us as somebody who had no father, no mother, just appears on the scene. That's not to say he didn't have a father or a mother, simply that in the revelation of God, he just appears. This Melchizedek. He's a type, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who truly has an endless life. No beginning, no end. We have such a high priest. this eternal Son of God. He has the power of an endless life. Only God has immortality. And yet this high priest of ours, we have such a high priest who has the power of this endless life. This high priest also was appointed by divine oath. The law is significant as coming from the mouth of God, but the law doesn't come with an oath of God, simply his command. And the Old Testament priests were given their office by the law, and by a law of natural genealogical succession. So when one died, the son took over. When the son died, the grandson took over. But the one who has the power of an endless life is appointed priest with an oath. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we have such a priest who cannot be removed from office because he has the power of an endless life. We have such a priest who cannot be removed from office because he is appointed to that office by this unbreakable divine oath. And we have such a high priest who is able to save completely. Verse 24. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He continues forever and has an unchangeable priesthood. That's why he's able to save to the uttermost. If you were guilty of manslaughter in the Old Testament, you were able to run to a city of refuge, and you were safe in that city of refuge, and you could live there under the protection of the high priest. When the high priest died, you were to return to your own city. Read that in Joshua. Imagine what you'd feel like. You could live under the protection of the high priest as long as he lived. And then you get the news. The high priest is sick. High priest is dying. And then you get the news. The high priest is dead. You've got to go home now. Back to the town where the people who suspected you of murdering their relative are living. The people who, not so long ago, were hunting you down. And now the priest has died and you've got to go back home. You're no longer under his protection, as it were. Now, it may well be that the people would have to accept the pardon and refuge continuing. But we have a high priest who will never go off duty. We have a high priest who lives forever. We have a high priest who never transfers his priestly work to anyone else. It's an unchangeable priesthood. That means it's non-transferable. It's not going to be transferred to a son, is not going to be transferred to anybody else. It's not going to be transferred to the Pope. It's not going to be transferred to any Mormon bishop. It's not transferable. Jesus is there permanently, forever, our high priest. And therefore he's always on duty to save us. We have such a high priest. And he is so holy. Such a high priest is fitting for us, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, who has become higher than the heavens. He doesn't need, like the other priest, first to offer us sacrifices for his own sins. He didn't have any sins. And this high priest has offered one sacrifice for sin forever. All your sins are dealt with by the one sacrifice that Jesus offered once at Calvary for sin. And that sacrifice cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He is the mediator of this covenant. His mediating the covenant and his ministering as the priest go hand in hand. The covenant says, with God's promise, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. And that means that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to minister this blessing of total, free, full forgiveness and pardon. Because he is the high priest who's offered himself a sacrifice for sins. And that's what the writer's been writing about right from the beginning of his letter. Chapter 1, verse 3, he tells us that Jesus is this person with the endless life, the Son, the eternal Son of God, the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We have such a high priest who's finished atoning for our sins, and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 9 verse 12 tells us that he's entered the holy place not by virtue of the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. We have a high priest who has eternal redemption in his hands, as it were. He's obtained it. Chapter 9, verse 28. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Only once. Doesn't need to be represented in the Mass. Doesn't need to be represented and supplemented with the sufferings of God's people to secure the atonement. Doesn't have to be represented in the Mass and the elements of the Mass and merged, as it were, with the sufferings of Christians bearing their crosses, as it were, as if their sufferings added to the atoning value of Christ's sufferings. No, he has obtained eternal redemption by the sacrifice of himself. It's obtained. There's nothing more to be added to it or supplemented to it. Hebrews 10 and verse 12. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. He's, by one offering, he's got rid of all their sins so they can come into the presence of God fully pardoned, with God pledging himself never to remember a single one of their sins against them ever again. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because of the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have such a high priest. Not a wonderful high priest. And then if you read on, you read that this high priest is enthroned in heaven. Now this is the main point of the things that we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Remember that the Lord is sworn with an oath, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And we learn about Melchizedek, chapter 7, verse 1. He was king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. He was king of righteousness. Melchizedek, king of righteousness. He was king of Salem, king of peace. Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ has been sworn under oath to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek, the king priest, the king of peace. By his sacrifice, he has secured peace. He is our peace. By his sacrifice, he has provided a complete righteousness for all his people. He is the King of peace, the King of righteousness, and he is enthroned in heaven at the right hand of the Majesty on high, the King priest. We have such a high priest, the King of peace and righteousness. And if you read on, he's a busy priest, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. For every priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. And the Lord Jesus Christ is busy in heaven offering gifts and sacrifices today. He most definitely is not offering to the Father his blood to atone for our sins. He did that once forever on Calvary. So what is he offering? Well, he is offering to the Father the gifts and the sacrifices of praise that we bring to God. He is the minister of this heavenly sanctuary. He offers gifts and sacrifices. And then as you read on into Hebrews, you find in chapter 13 and in chapter 12, you get the description of the worship of the Lord's people in chapter 12. You've not come to Mount Sinai. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Hebrews 12 and verse 22. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. When we gather for worship, we are gathering, as it were, at the foot of Mount Sinai, at Mount Zion. Here we are on earth, but we're gathering at the foot of heaven. So every congregation, as it were, is at the base of heaven, this heavenly mountain. And Jesus is there, God the Father is there, the believers who have gone before are there, the angels in festive gathering are there. It is this wonderful gathering of thanksgiving and praise and honour to God. And then as you read on into chapter 13, you read verse 14. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Therefore, by him, our high priest, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Our great high priest is busy in this heavenly sanctuary, presenting to God our sacrifices of praise, the fruit of our lips, the giving of thanks and praise to his name. Presenting our sacrifices of living service. You remember Paul in Romans says, Romans 12, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice which is acceptable to God. Well, who makes our living sacrifice of our whole lives and being to God acceptable? Who makes our praises the fruit of our lips? Who makes the sacrifice of our service acceptable to God? Who presents those things to God? It is our great high priest. We have such a high priest who's seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it's necessary that this one also have something to offer. He's busy as the priest offering. We are all priests under him. Remember those songs in Revelation? Worthy is the Lamb, because you've made us kings and priests to our God. Remember Peter in his letter saying that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You come to Jesus Christ, the living stone. Your living stones built upon him, and you become this living temple for the praise of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ is such a high priest. The power of an endless life. The power of an accomplished atonement. The perpetual living, so that he's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. He is the king priest on the throne. He is the minister, the busy priest, who's bringing our praises, our offerings, our sacrifices of service to God. And then he is represented by the Old Testament priests. They are a copy, a shadow of him. Verse 4 and 5 of Hebrews 8. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. But those priests and all that Moses made for them is a copy, a shadow of Jesus. And in Exodus 28, you read of the garments for the high priest, how that he would have a gold plate on his forehead, on the turban that he is wearing, holiness to the Lord. The picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, he, as it were, comes before the Father, and he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He is holiness to the Lord for us. You remember that the high priest is given a garment called the ephod, and on the ephod there are shoulder pads, as it were, and in the shoulder straps there is embedded these onyx stones, and on the onyx stones there are the names of the tribes of Israel. Six on one shoulder, six on the other shoulder. And in Exodus 28, the priest wears these things, and when he goes into the presence of God, he bears the names of the people on his shoulders as a memorial before God. And you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest, the great Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the shepherd of his people. You think of the Lamb's Book of Life, Christ's register, as it were, of all whom he is to redeem. He bears their names, as it were, on his shoulder. Every one of Christ's lambs written in the Lamb's catalogue of the redeemed. He bears them. You think of the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ told of the shepherd and the lost sheep, how that he went in search of the lost sheep and he carried it on his shoulders all the way home. We have such a high priest who bears our names on his shoulders. He bears responsibility for us. He will carry us into the presence of God. He will carry us home to the presence of God. The picture of the Old Testament priest bearing the names upon his shoulders. And then the Old Testament priest would have the breastplate of righteousness, or the breastplate of judgment, as it was called. And on the breastplate he would have 12 stones, and on each stone there would be a separate name, one of the tribes of Israel, on each stone. And the instruction was that it would be fastened to the ephod so that it wouldn't become loose, and it was to be worn near the heart of the high priest, so that every time again as he went into the presence of God, he not only bore responsibility for them all as their names are on his shoulders, but he bears them all near his heart as a continual reminder to him that his heart has to go out to these people as he represents them in the presence of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ has the names of all his people dear to his heart. The Apostle Paul could say of the Philippians, I have you always in my heart. Well, if the Apostle Paul could have the names of the dear Philippians near to his heart, how much more does Jesus have us near to his heart all the time? Paul in Romans says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? This love of Christ, he remembers us. He died for us. He rose again for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. What can separate us from the love of Christ? This great high priest who's alive, who's able to save to the uttermost because he always lives to make intercession for us. What can separate us from his love? Isaiah, in Isaiah 49, says the people complained. Now God has forgotten me. God's forsaken me. And God's answer is, can a woman forget the child she bore? Yes, she may. But I can never forget you. I have graven you in the palms of my hands. I cannot forget you. And we think of our great high priest in the offering himself as the sacrifice, has, as it were, engraved our names permanently in the palms of his hands as the nails pierced his hands. What can separate us from the love of Christ? We have such a high priest. The power of an endless life. Appointment by oath. He's not going to go away. He's not going to abandon his post. God's not going to give him the sack. We have such a high priest, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, so suited to us. He knows what it is to triumph against temptation and to be sympathetic and understand and help us. He knows exactly what we need. We have such a high priest. The King of peace, the King of righteousness, a busy high priest. All the transactions between your soul and God the Father come through the hands of this gracious high priest. And this high priest carries your names, responsibility for you, love for you, responsibility for me, love for me. We have this high priest. We've not been left alone to work out our own way of coming to God, our own transaction of business between us and God. We would totally fail if left to ourselves. But God in his mercy has given us this high priest, and only this high priest. Are you coming to God through him, the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you go out into the week, looking up to heaven? I have a high priest who is undertaking everything for me, interceding, praying, keeping, leading, guiding. What a high priest. May we, with joy, meditate our high priest above and experience the blessing of transactions with God through him. Amen.